Right. Today we light the fourth candle of Advent, in which we celebrate the love birthed when an infant was cradled in a manger. I left this one out, didn't I? This candle of love symbolises a light shining in hateful times, while the darkness of pretentious powers remain and kills, we celebrate the universal quest to find a better way. And now let us all pray together. God of loving power and transformation, your presence is revealed in all who seek the truth. Help us to celebrate Jesus' birth, to make our hearts ready to reawaken our love for you. In the name of Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord. Amen. And now please stand if you are able and sing our special Advent hymn for this year, Comfort, Comfort, All My People. Symbols of Christmas, we acknowledge that we worship on the land of the Kaurna nation, who together with all First Peoples created the song lines to symbolise a network of humanness to care for the ecosystems of this continent. We look forward to the day when their cultural gifts are truly recognised and will enhance the lives of all who now call Australia home.
In this period leading up to Christmas this year, we have not focused on Advent themes, rather we have anticipated Christmas by focusing on the symbols that are all essential and part of the Christmas story to do with the birth of Jesus. Now, not all the possible symbols have had a proper mention. For example, stars or the star. Now, we did note that the shepherds would have read the stars, which enabled them to discern the signs of the times. And so why a star on the tree? There it is. Now, this picture behind me is of the night sky from the Kimberleys in Western Australia, where Janine and I once lived. Unfortunately, urban lighting prevents us from seeing such starry nights. The First Nations people we work with had many stories inspired by the stars, all of which convey meanings to do with life on Earth. That is the point of symbols, to convey meanings about aspects of living, how to make sense of things, and to remind us all that there are spiritual realities which both transcend the everyday and are imbued in the everyday. Today we will be reflecting on stories to remind us of the significance of the Christ child's birth, that it's really a significance for all the people of the earth, no matter what their ethnicity or cultural origin. But the infant also represents a threat to the powerful of this world. The star over Bethlehem. Now, yes, we know that stars don't actually move. It may have been a comet, but, you know, that's not the point. The point is that the star is a symbol, that Christ represents something of cosmic significance, and that significance includes a profound love for you, for me, and for all living things on earth. So let us sing the next Christmas carol, which begins with the words, "As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold."
First reading today comes from Matthew 2, reading from verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chiefs and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was had been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, and from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
The visit of the wise men, or in the original Greek, the Magi. Who were they, and where did they come from? All scholars agree that they came from Persia, Iran today, and that they probably would have been followers of Zoroaster, whose religion is perhaps the first organized religion in the modern sense, and also the first to actually sink almost into oblivion. There does remain a remnant, the Parsis in India, and the modern day people of the Baha'i faith. Well, enough of that. These men with their gifts are highly symbolic. First, let's note that they seek wisdom from Herod the Great, the pawn of Julius Caesar. I think an instance of take me to your leader. Now, I wonder why, as the wise men later realised, that the civil powers were mistakenly considered to be experts on religious matters and then so easily spooked and threatened when a higher authority is referred to. Now, one well-remembered event I have is when I was part of the youth group of what was the Kensington Gardens Congregational Uniting Church. We put on the play The Backyard Miracle. I don't think anybody here could have been there, but anyway. And it was by the renowned playwright Stuart Jackman, who also was a congregational minister. It told the story of the visit of the wise men in a contemporary setting. And its humour really did rival the life of Brian. And Jackman made use of extended symbols later used to identify and name the wise men. Now, this next picture. This 6th century mosaic is of the Magi and the gifts and their gifts in the Basilica of Saint Apollinaire Nouveau in Ravenna, Italy. And what Jackman did was to use the names of these figures in his play to connect them with what was understood to be the three continents of the ancient Middle Eastern world. Balthazar represented the East, Asia, which actually was Asia Minor. Melchior represented the West, or Europe, and Caspar the South, Africa. Jackman contemporized him so that Balthazar was Indian, Melchior a Caucasian European, and Caspar was an African from Nigeria. Now I'll come back to this in a moment. Jackman used the extended symbolism of the three gifts. First, gold as a gift associated with kingship. The Persians believed in a king above all earthly kings, that is, the King of Kings with divine authority. Frankincense was a fragrant resin, a gift to symbolize worship and the priestly role that Jesus would play as mediator between God and humanity. And then thirdly, myrrh is also a resin with a bitter taste used for embalming dead bodies, a gift which symbolises suffering. Jesus, as prophet, would suffer a death which would open the life gate for all humanity. Protestant theologians were the ones to spell out Jesus' role as prophet, priest, and king. But symbols with what we call an inverted meaning, that is, not symbols or roles to justify domination and power over others, but to release the power of others. Think of the shepherd king, for example. Jackman envisaged the wise men as symbolic of the cultures of the world, and he took the contemporary world as his setting. Balthazar's frankincense represented the spiritual sensitivities of the East, such as the Buddhist Tenfold Path. Melchior's gold represented the rationality and empiricism of the West. Now, I gulp here because I'm aware of the West's imperial past and the wealth plundered from colonised peoples. I don't know whether any of you have seen Stuff the British Stole, a series on SBS. Caspar's myrrh represented the suffering of the African slaves who enriched Arab and especially European nations. Yet the vitality of Africans, whether in Africa or around the world, as a rhythmic gift which is especially theirs. Now let me pause here, because I see both problem and gift in this interpretation. It is problematic, for example, to assume that rationality and empiricism is something we Westerners have above all other cultures. This is patently not true. Yet there are cultural gifts, and I've already hinted this, and it came out in our welcome acknowledgement of country. There are cultural gifts which are distinctive to particular peoples and worthy to be affirmed. The First Nations dreaming, for example, as a way of integrating nature, humans, societal care, linking it with the creative spirit, is surely something we can all learn from as we face up to the ecological crises of our time. This storytelling, this visit of the Magi with its symbols, is designed to affirm a universal reality which the Christ child represents for all peoples of the earth. That is, we are of one human family. The rich diversity and wisdom of all peoples is for the benefit of all. There's a personal dimension too, that when the Christ event as God's gift to us happens, we're liberated to rise above self-indulgence and be a gift to others. And there is no more precious gift than to offer love to those who've come to think that they are of little worth. Let me conclude with a quote from Pope Francis' words that he has penned for this Christmas season. I quote, "It is not enough to know where Jesus was born, as the scribes did, if we do not go there. It is not enough to know that Jesus was born like Herod if we do not encounter him. When his place becomes our place, when his time becomes our time, when his person becomes our life, then the prophecies come to fulfillment in us. Then Jesus is born within us. He becomes the living God's presence for me. Today we are asked to imitate the Magi. They do not debate, they set out. They do not stop to observe, but enter the house of Jesus. They do not put themselves at the centre, but bow down before the one who is the centre. We're now going to sing a carol, sometimes an oldie but a goodie. We Three Kings of Orient Are.
God of love, you who are born in us, we thank you and confess the times we leave no room in the inn of our hearts for you to be born in us. Forgive our being closed off to your gift of life. Grant us open minds and spacious hearts that your love may find new life in our lives. And God's love is shared with all his creation, so we are loved and forgiven. Thanks be to God. And now the peace be with you. Please share the peace with each other.
Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what the word had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be consoled, because they were no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled: "He will be called a Nazarene."
Let's have the first picture. Today's stories and symbols remind us that there's always a power play when the purposes of God are active. Herod's infanticide is the reaction of a tyrant whose own humanity has been so greatly diminished that he regards the people of Israel as expendable and can slaughter children who represent the future. I need not refer to current events, as we all know, where Herodian-like slaughter is happening right now. I, for one, call the Holy Families refugees of their day, and I'm rather bewildered that if you go onto Google and talk about Jesus with a refugee, there's a whole lot of, I think they come from the fundamentalist sector of the church, you say, "No, Jesus wasn't a refugee." Well, I'm sorry. Jesus was a refugee. The family had to flee to a safe haven. It was for the sake of the child. I think something seems to have deadened the soul of our nation. Of course there needs to be order when asylum seekers arrive. But instead we live in the shadow of the Tampa incident, when the mantra, "We decide who comes into this country and the circumstances into which they come," which is all very well, but that was used to turn away desperate Hazara's family with children fleeing great persecution in Afghanistan. Since then, Australia has one of the harshest anti-refugee policies in the world. One suspects that these policies tap into the deeply embedded racism within the soul of our nation. This picture says it all, doesn't it? Refugees are human beings. Mary and Joseph, with their infant, were human beings. And we could add to the poster, yes, and all God's children. The next picture, please. The story concludes with the return. Good old donkeys. Have you noticed that they still feature in Gaza? Demagoguery does not last forever, as we have graphically seen in Syria this last week. Returning to homes already demolished will be hard, but many will. They will return because they believe a new life is possible despite the cost. The symbols of Christmas remind us that the powers of this world do not have the last word. Let me conclude with another meditation from Anne Weems called Later. Later, after the angels, after the stable, after the child, they went back, as we always must, back to the world that doesn't understand our talk of angels and stars, and especially not the child. We can go back complaining that it doesn't last. But they went back singing praises to God. We do have to go back, for we can still sing the Alleluias. Amen. Our next carol is "Unto Us a Boy is Born," and perhaps have we words of the first verse there. The last line is repeated, and I'd like to suggest when you repeat the line, you repeat all the words of the last line. "Unto us a boy is born."
Thank you.
Let us pray. We recognise that the greatest gift is the gift of love. May our offerings of time, talents, and money distribute this love to the world. Bless these offerings so that they may be a source of love and hope in this church and in the community beyond us. In the name of Jesus, amen. You will all be aware that something special is going to happen this coming week, and we hope that you will be able to join us either on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so please, if you haven't received your notices online, then you may get a copy of the notices in our foyer. So please do that, and we wish you and your family great blessings as this week now progresses. And now let us pray our prayers for the people. Gracious God, we come to offer our prayers and thoughts for those at this time who suffer from the effects of war and disasters. For them we pray for peace and courage. Sustain them who must carry grief or fear. Your love surround them. Your spirit strengthen them. And your hope guide them. Today we pray for our friends who are unwell. Comfort them and bless them. We send our love to them. We pray for each other, that you give us the power to share our faith and your peace. May we seek to do your will, trust your grace, and share your love. In the name of Jesus. And now let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now please stand if you're able and sing our last hymn for today, O Little Love Who Comes Again.
Go into the week inspired by the stories of the birth of the Christ child. Be lifted up beyond your cares, for the grace of God in Christ is sufficient for you. Be blessed by cherishing the rich diversity of the human family. be assured that tyranny is never remembered well in history. Be blessed by cherishing the times when you have been a gift to others. Amen.